Welcome to Life Church Birmingham. We are glad you have listened today. We know God has a plan and purpose for your life and want to help you be successful in Jesus Christ. We know you will receive a message of hope and encouragement.
Matthew chapter 25. Chapter 25. I hope you'll stay next week for our potluck lunch. Matthew 25. I'm going to start a series this week on generous. That's the title of it. And I want to just kind of lay some groundwork before we read Matthew 25 about the parable of the talents or bags of gold. And I just want to lay some groundwork and ask for your involvement. Let me tell you what I'm believing for over the next few weeks for this church and for your life personally. First of all, I'm praying and believing for God to give you increase in the area of your finances. The Bible says wealth comes from the Lord, and so I'm praying that over you. Secondly, I'm praying for a supernatural generosity to rise up within us as in me and my family, you, that there would be a supernatural generosity that would rise up within us. And the third is I'm praying about a certain date in the future in which I'm believing for a supernatural offering for this church. Here's an interesting thought. April 6th is a Sunday. If you back up, can someone fact check me on that? I think it's April 6th, the first Sunday of April. If you back up in the calendar, the year that Jesus was crucified, April 6th was the date on the way we calculate a calendar. April 6th was the day that he rode into Jerusalem on a donkey to become the Passover lamb on April 6th. I'm believing for that day to be a supernatural outpouring of generosity within this church. So I'm praying three things. I also covet your prayers. I'm asking you to pray for me over the next 5 weeks. Pray that I would say what needs to be said with zero fear of man, right? With no concern about opinions of people, but only what the word says, and that you would pray for me for pure motives. Would you pray that over me for pure motives? And that all that we talk about would be helpful. So I don't want you to miss a Sunday. I believe that God's going to give you supernatural increase. That's what I'm praying for. And I'm believing for a supernatural outpouring of generosity in this church. Now, I want to celebrate something that we're all part of. Many of you know we just emphasized our annual missions theme. Our theme this year is serve, and we talked the last several weeks about missions and world missions and local missions, and we have these booklets out front. I want you to get one and read it. Those are our goals for what we feel like God wants us to do in the area of local, regional, and global missions. We support missionaries on every continent except for Antarctica, and maybe God's going to raise up an Antarctic missionary in here. We support missionaries all over the world. And I just want to celebrate something with you. We passed out cards, and on those cards, we ask you to prayerfully consider a commitment to giving to missions. And I just want to celebrate that annually, when you add all those up, the faith commitments equal $38,472 that we have committed to in this house, come on, for global missions, to go outside and make a difference. The second thing is we received an offering a month ago when we had our guest missionary, Joel Marbert, missionary to Ecuador, and we received $1,570 that day specifically to plant churches in Ecuador. We've committed $5,000, and we've already sent $1,500. And when you add all those up together, the total for the year is $40,042 of commitments that we've made from this house. And I just want to say thank you and celebrate what God is doing in this house in the area of generosity. Amen? Amen. How many of you can't take it with you? I want to store up treasures in heaven. Here we go, Matthew 25. It's Jesus talking. He's giving a parable. A parable is a fictitious story to make a point about something greater. And he's talking about the kingdom of God and what the rule and reign of Jesus is like. And he gives several parables. This is the parable of the bags of gold or the talents. Here's what it says. Again, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, would be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his wealth to them. To one, he gave 5 bags of gold. To another, he gave 2 bags of gold. And to another, he gave 1 bag, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received 5 bags of gold went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 more bags of gold. So also the one with 2 bags of gold gained 2 more. But the man who had received 1 bag went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received 5 bags of gold brought the other 5. So he's bringing 5 to the master. He said, "You entrusted me with 5 bags of gold. See, I've gained 5 more. His master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things, and I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness." The man with the 2 bags of gold also came. "Master," he said, "you entrusted me with 2 bags of gold. See, I have gained 2 more. His master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many. Come and share your master's happiness." Then the man who had received 1 bag of gold came. "Master," he said, "I knew that you are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid and I went out and I hid your gold in the ground. See, here it is. Here's what belongs to you." His master replied, "You wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that you harvest where I have not, that I harvest where I haven't sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. Well, then you should have at least put my money on deposit with the bankers so that when I return, I would have received it back with some interest. So take the bag of gold from him, give it to the one who has 10 bags of gold. For whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. And throw that worthless servant outside into darkness where there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Amen. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that we value your words to us, Jesus. And I pray that you would give us kingdom perspective on all of our possessions, on all of our talents, on our physical body, our intellect, the cognitive abilities you've given us, all that you've allowed us to have, all that you've trusted us with. Give us kingdom perspective. And God, I pray that we would, that my household and this church body, we would be found faithful in Jesus' name. Amen. So what can we learn from the parables? What is it that he's trying to say to us? I've got a few things that jump off the page at me. First of all is this, and you need to write these down, I believe. Number one, God owns it all. God owns it all. In the parable, the master there is the Lord. Jesus is talking about the kingdom of God. And here's how it works. So in the kingdom, the master is God. He gives as he sees fit. In the parable, the servants would be us. We are the servants, right? The bags of gold represent all of the resources that God has trusted you and me with. That includes money, but it is not limited to money. It includes everything he's trusted us with. All of your abilities, all of our time, opportunities, intellect, our physical body, our capacities, our capabilities, our mental and physical well-being and health, our talents, spiritual gifts, opportunities, everything that he's asked us to steward and trust us with, those are the, quote, bags of gold in the parable. And when we read it, we can see that Jesus is talking to us. He says, I've given you all this. What will you do with what I've given to you? Will you multiply it, right? We read it together. I know it's daylight savings time, so we're going to know in about 5 minutes. Who forgot, right? We're going to know in about 5 minutes. You got up early. I'm feeling it a little bit too, but it's okay to say amen, even on a sermon about money. Come on. Will you multiply it, or will you hoard it? Can we see that clearly from the scripture? Will you operate in faith and reproduce what you have been given, or you operate in fear and hoard what I have trusted you with? God owns it all, and he distributes it as he sees fit. He's the distributor of the bags of gold, right? To one five, one two, and then another one. It is his to give as he sees fit because he owns it all. He has the privilege of distribution because he owns it all. I am not entitled to what someone else has been given. It is not mine to claim. I should not be jealous of someone else's gifts or talents or brain power or money or anything like that. I can rest knowing that God is the one who distributes. You are created unique. I'm created unique. There's not another one like you. Why don't you just nudge a person and say, thank God, there ain't nobody like you. There ain't another one like you. Guess what? That's God's design. Thank God not everybody's like me. Everybody'd have iron jeans on, but thank God not everybody's like me. Not everybody got the same thing. One guy got five, right? One guy got two, and one guy got one. He can give as much or as little as he wants to. I am not responsible for what someone else has. However, I am responsible for what I've been given. You are not responsible for what someone else has. You are not responsible. You do not need to carry the burden of ownership. You are not responsible for what they have. You are responsible. I am responsible for what I have. If you get five bags of gold, yippee. Guess what? You're responsible for those five. If you get two bags of gold, yippee. You're responsible for those two bags of gold. If you get one bag of gold, yippee, you're responsible for one bag of gold. Remember, the bags of gold represent everything God's trusted us with. Psalm 24:1 says this, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. So I just want to make a point here, and I hope your intelligence is not insulted, but I like a little feedback. First question is this. Who owns the world? Okay. You get a check by your name on the dry erase board. Who owns everything in the world? Two checks, man. Three, you're getting a smiley face. Here, one more. Who owns all who live in the world? Okay. I've got a friend of mine who's a nephrologist. That is a kidney doctor. Fancy, right? I like that four-syllable word, right? He told me one day, he's a Nigerian guy. Some of you might know him. They used to go here, and they moved on to Gadsden area. But he's a Nigerian guy. He has the coolest accent. He said to me, "Pastor, in the Southeast United States, I have great job security." I said, "Oh, okay. Let me tell you what he said. Listen to what he said. There are so many people who do not take care of their health. They have very bad habits that make them unhealthy, and that's why I have great job security." Whoa. My oldest uncle, my dad's one of nine, my oldest uncle was a mechanic for a living. He's very good. As a young man, he just got the smell of gas in his nostrils and couldn't get it out. And some of you who followed races in South Florida for a long time, Big Daddy Don Garlitz, he used to dust him in drag races in South Florida. So Uncle Red was very good at building motors. As a matter of fact, he built a motor that sat the pole at Talladega years ago, way before it was huge money, right? And so eventually he figured out that probably dirt track racing and building motors for racetracks are probably not going to be his bread and butter. So if you know anybody who's into kart racing, it's borderline addiction, right? And so he kind of broke that, opened up a shop, and became very good in Punta Gorda, Florida, at building motors. Built a big business, employed both his sons, many people, was known as the guy who could rebuild motors. He became very good at it, built a successful business. And when I was younger, he made a statement to me that I'll never forget. Here's what he said. He said, "Tim, if everyone changed their oil like they should, I would go out of business." Oh, really? He said, "Yep, you'd be surprised." We say this phrase, everything happens for a reason. Sometimes the reason is because we make stupid decisions. Can I just say that? You know, if that statement's true, everything happens for a reason. Sometimes the reason is because we do dumb things. God owns it all, and God expects a return on his investment. He expects faithful stewardship. God expects me to faithfully manage what he's trusted me with, and God expects that of you. Read the parable. What does it say about the guy who came up? He was only given one, so he hid it in the ground, right? He says, "Okay, master, here's your bag of gold." He said, "You wicked servant. You wicked servant. You didn't faithfully steward what you were given." I grew up in a house all my life, minus 18 months. My father was self-employed in sales. He just would not get beat down for being told no. He just wouldn't. And for those of you who are a little self-conscious about that, you might not be the best salesperson, but he knew the statistics. He had a good product at a reasonable price, great service, whatever he was selling. And so he knew, I got to have 20, 30 no's before I get a yes. And he just worked it his whole life in sales. As a kid, you don't appreciate those things. As I got older, I remember one time he just had to come apart because he has to file quarterly. For those of you self-employed, you know what I'm talking about. You got to pay both sides of your FICA. You got to pay federal, state, all that. So he just comes to the house. "I'm sick of it. I'm sick of it. We're all moving out. We're all moving in a tent. I'm tired of paying for this five and five more. I'm just sick of it. I can't handle these taxes," right? So all my life, my dad was self-employed. When you're self-employed, and some of you are, you don't get the privilege of clocking out and feeling a release from all the responsibility. Why? Because you are the owner, right? But if I only work there and I don't have any ownership, I am free to clock out, go out the door, and not have to worry about it. Why? Because I'm like not the owner. When we look at the parable of the talents, we can realize something. I can be free from the weight of ownership because God owns it all. It's his. I'm called to be faithful. I'm called to be obedient. But the success, as we perceive it, or lack of, as we perceive it, is totally up to the owner. So the weight is off of you. And some of you have been carrying the weight of ownership. you look at your stuff, and it's maybe not what you thought it should be, or you lose something, and you just get devastated. We get devastated because we unnecessarily carry the weight of ownership. But can I tell you, you weren't designed to carry that weight. It is God's. He owns it all. And realistically, you only get it for a few years anyways. You only hold it in your hand for a few years anyways. You were created to be a steward of God's possessions. Free from the burden of ownership. Free from anxiety, stress, lack of peace. That can hinder everything. It can create closed fists. It can create heart attacks and strokes and mental disorders. So God invites us, gives us an invitation to release those burdens to Him. Well, you know the scripture probably, Matthew 6. I wish I could sing, and right now I'd belt it out, but I'll just read it instead. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you eat or drink, about your body, what you wear. Is not life more than food? Is your body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. His eye is on, there we go, sparrow. There's where that song came from. Are you not much more valuable than those birds? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? No. God owns it all. It's His. Second realization is this. God determines what it's for. God determines. God made you like you are for a reason. He gifted you like He did for a reason. Some of those gifts are in seed form. I'm telling you, you don't realize all that's inside of you. You don't realize all that's inside of you. There are seed form gifts that are waiting to be nurtured, watered, fertilized, given good environment. There are gifts inside of you that you do not yet know. But God determines what those are for. 1 Chronicles 29:11 says this, yours, Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the majesty and the splendor. For everything in heaven and earth is yours. There it is again. Yours, Lord, is the kingdom. You are exalted as head over all. Wealth and honor come from you, and you are the ruler of all things. Everything comes from you, and we have given you only what comes from your hand. So, God owns it all. Everything on heaven and earth is yours. God is over all creation, and the writer there makes a bold claim. He says, wealth comes from God. I just want to park there a moment. Some of you are not sure if you believe that or not. Wealth comes from God. Fix my microphone to pause for emphasis. Wealth comes from God. Can we be so bold in a Sunday morning service to just quote scripture out loud for a moment? Can we just say that? Can we just quote that scripture on the count of three? Wealth comes from God. I just want to, wealth and honor come from you. Can we just say that out loud together? Wealth and honor come from you on the count of three? Can we on a Sunday morning, on daylight savings time change day? Here we go. 1, 2, 3. Wealth and honor come from you. Okay, I'm going to lay a caveat down. There is massive injustice in the world. Massive injustice in the world. 2, God gets really upset with injustice. He gets really upset with injustice. When the weak are preyed upon, when the powerful take advantage of, manipulate, control. So I just want to lay a caveat down. God is into making wrong things right. And one day, the scales will be even. They will be set right. Injustice is not from God. He gets very upset with injustice, and you should too. You should too. We should get as upset about injustice as God does. Let that be a call to action. James is very clear. Pure religion is taking care of orphans and widows. Right? And you give towards that. I just want to just share with you, recently, you have helped us go to two widows' yards and help clean them up in the last month. You paid for that because they're in shock, they're in horror, they're lost, they can't get on top of things. So we just go relieve a simple burden. God is into making wrong things right. Caveat, right? Okay. But there are those who claim all economic outcome should be the same for everyone. And if this does not take place, therefore, there's an obvious injustice. And the line of thinking is this: if there's an obvious injustice, they are going to set things right. They will take from those who have more and give to those who have less. Friend, the effect on a culture is that it creates a sense of entitlement. I deserve what you have because you have more. Since you have it and I don't, then someone should give it to me. It does not matter that you worked 3 decades, week after week, month after month, long hours, saving, sacrificing, getting up early, going to bed late, living and breathing work and living beneath your means for decades. None of that matters. What matters is if you have more than me, that's an injustice, and I'm entitled to get what you have. Friend, that is an immoral thought. That is not a biblical thought. That is a wicked, sinful thought. There are some that claim that if you have money, that is an indication you have somehow been unjust in your acquiring of it. And the standard is usually just a little bit more than I have. Isn't that the standard? It's just whatever I got is just a little more than that. Therefore, you are unjust. Certainly, there are those who have acquired money and power illegally and unjustly. Certainly there is. But what does the Bible say? Wealth comes from the Lord. God is not into injustice. I'm not telling you God is honoring wicked people who steal and rob and manipulate and control and wield their power. I'm not saying that. But what I'm saying is God is the one who gives wealth. Money is not evil. Now, that is a wicked thought. And that is being shoved down the throat of a younger generation. Money is not the root of evil. Some of you are shocked. What's the scripture say? It is the love of money. As a matter of fact, what's 1 Timothy 6 say? Let's throw it up there. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Some people, eager for money, have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. God decides the purpose. It's the love of things the love of money. What motivates some young person to shoot another one for a pair of $200 sneakers? It's the love of money. What motivates criminal enterprises from trafficking human beings as property? It is the love of money. The love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. But yet, wealth comes from the Lord. So we have to hold those two things in our hand in tension, right? God, you're the one who blesses. So Lord, protect me from the love of mammon. If there's not a spiritual component to money, why does it get the reaction that it does in church when you mention the word? If we had an audience of thousands, I'm sure I'd get emails about how the church is money hungry and all this, blah, blah, blah. Man, last year we gave 150,000 pounds of food away. We serve this community. Don't fall for that junk. It is the love of money. When it comes to generosity and giving, we can only give what God has first given us. I remember it was probably 14, 15 years ago at Christmas time. And our middle son, Zach, back when he's little cute, you know. Now he's big. And he Jamie sent him to school with an envelope with some money. It was like $7 or $10 to go shopping at the Clay Elementary Santa shop or whatever they called it to buy your family Christmas presents. You know, your kids ever do that? They have these little shops set up, right? And so little Zach runs out with his dinosaur backpack, right? Heading to school. He gets off the bus. He comes bebopping off the bus with a blue scarf wrapped around his neck, coming to the door. And Jamie meets him. He said, "Hey, bud, how'd it go today?" He said, "Oh, it went great. I got some really good deals." Opens his backpack. He said, "I got Luke this really big pencil. It says, 1 brother. I got Macy these little figurines. I think they were like horses or something. Little figurines. She could put those on her shelf. I think she likes horses, doesn't she? I got Dad a big old pencil. It says, 1 dad on it. And Mom, I got you this really shiny, fancy rock shaped like a heart." And Jay's like, "Well, why don't you wrap it up and give it to me at Christmas?" And he says, or she says, "Well, did you have any leftover money? Where's the leftover money?" He said, "Oh, no, I don't have any leftover money. I got such good deals. I used the leftover money to buy this nice scarf for myself." And she's like, "Wait a minute. You're supposed to bring me the leftovers." When we give, so he bought himself a Christmas present. I was funny. He was not supposed to, but he got it, you know. When we give, it's sort of like that. 1 Chronicles 29:14. Everything comes from you, and we have given you only what comes from your hand. The only thing he had to shop with was what Jamie put in his little envelope to go to the Christmas shop at Clay Elementary to buy 1 pencils and horse figurines and little rocks that are shiny and a scarf for himself. Merry Christmas to me. Thanks, Mom and Dad. When we give, it's not really ours we're giving, because everything comes from him. God determines the use of the talents that he's given you. God has the right to determine their intended function, and God has the right to determine the purpose. Everything, the earth, and all of humanity are created for the glorification of God. Isaiah 43:7, Psalm 19:1. And when I realize that God owns it all and that he determines what the purpose of my possessions are, it doesn't restrict me. It actually liberates me. It liberates me from carrying the weight, the heavy burden of ownership. It frees me. I don't have to wonder what the purpose of my singing ability is. What? Hey, that's funny. I know that the purpose of my singing ability is to sit down there and sing to the Lord. It ain't up here with a microphone. I tried that once. It don't work. I am not responsible for what I have not given. But I am responsible for what I have been given. I don't know if I'm a good preacher or not. And I'm not looking for, you know, any interaction. But what I know is, if I have anything of value to offer anyone when I open my mouth, it ain't because I started that way. It's because I knew that God had called me, and I got to the grinding wheel and worked and worked and prayed and worked and prayed and worked. And the same for you and your gifts and talents. You have gifting and talent, but if you don't refine them, they are useless. And if I read the parable correctly, I am responsible for what I've been given. And I hope he held accountable one day. He's determined what gifts we get. And I can drop the heavy weight of ownership by using my time and my money, my body, my talents for the glory of God. For the glory of God. I am free from the anxiety and stress and worry. And can I tell you, I got to remind myself of that when I have an unexpected hiccup that costs me money. The window breaks. Ah, who likes to replace a windshield? Like no one. I remember one time we first got married. We lived in an apartment and we put our laundry in. We just got married. So we had like all the new towels that you get when you get married. I had, back when everybody wore like pleated Dockers all the time. So I had like five colors, right? Someone stole our laundry out of the stinking washing machine. I'm like, oh my. Do you know what it's like to go to the store to buy towels that someone stole? It's like no fun. It's like buying tires for your car. You know you need them, right? You know you got to have them. Oh, and then I'll go back to the, you know, Belk or whatever. I'll take some brown ones and some black ones and some gray ones. Yeah, same size. Well, I already had them. Somebody stole them. When I realize God owns it all, it takes the bite out of situations like that when it doesn't go according to plan. My job is to use my talents to worship God and glorify his name. Worship team, if you'll come. He's the ruler over all things. My prayer is that we would direct our bags of gold for the glorification of Jesus Christ. Some of you, I'm looking at you, I've known some of you for decades, you're craftsmen, and you realize you are good at your trade, and you do it for the glorification of Jesus. So whether you are an electrician, or a physical therapist, or a plumber, or a salesman, or a nurse, or an area rep, or a principal, or an account, whatever, use what you've been given for the glorification of Jesus Christ. You are not responsible for what someone else has been given. However, you are responsible for what you have been given. God owns it all. God determines what it's for. And the last thing is this. I am not an owner, but I am a steward of God's property. Let's go back to the parable. Jesus gave out, or the implication is Jesus. The master gave out the bags of gold, right? It wasn't their bags. It was someone else's bags. He went away for a long time, and then he came back. Life is brief. It is but a vapor. We will give an account to the one who has trusted us with the talents. 1 Peter 4:10 says this, each one of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. Each one of you should use whatever gifts you have to serve others as faithful stewards. I looked up the word steward. I just want to get it. I want to dial in here. A steward is the careful and responsible management of something entrusted to one's care. The careful and responsible management of something entrusted to one's care. Each one of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others. Carefully and responsibly manage it because it's been trusted to your care. God, what did the master expect of the people that he distributed the bags of gold to? He expected stewardship. He expected responsibility. He expected that there would be something done with what was given to them, and there would be, look, fruit of that when he returned. God expects careful and trustworthy management of what he's trusted you with. The guy who took the one bag, right? So we might think, oh, look, there's one poor guy, he just got a bag, right? Oh, what, he operated in fear. He went and buried it. What if someone takes it? I'm going to hide it, right? He comes back, the master comes back and he says, look, here's your bag of gold. I kept it safe for you. And the master says, you wicked, lazy servant. Take that bag from him and give it to the guy who's multiplying. God expects faithful stewardship. He rewards multiplication. And when you put kingdom principles, when you apply kingdom principles to your life, in whatever area, there will be a multiplication. And some of you are not sure if you believe that, because I haven't taught on this in a really long time. And you're not sure if you believe that because you are bombarded with a message that is contrary to the Word of God. In the secular world, he rewards. He took the one bag and gave it to the guys at five. Now he's got 10. Why does he need 11? We missed the point. The point is, that ain't his 11 anyways. The point is, he faithfully stewarded what he had, and now he's able to multiply it. What I'm saying to you is this. There are kingdom principles that are solid when it comes to your finances, that when you use them, will reap a multiplication. If you're new, this is the first time you heard me talk about this. Back up the last 4 years of sermons. And this is, we're not like name it, claim it, and God's going to give you a $1,000 check. If you throw, we're not all like goofy, but let's not throw out the baby with the bathwater. He rewards and multiplies your money, Your gifts, your talents, your teaching ability, your leadership, your management, your care. Some of you are compassionate, and you're around, you stir up compassion in others. You multiply that gift. Some of you are brilliant. I admire your intellect. And you encourage others to dig deep in their thoughts. We need people that can think deeply about things. In the medical community, in public health, in every area. And you stir others up to learn. You're multiplying your gifts. So we're laying a foundation for the next 4 weeks, 5 weeks. On April 6th, I'm challenging you, this church, to pray about an above and beyond multiplication offering. We're going to build up to that. But let's land here for now. God owns it all. He determines what it's for. I'm a steward of God's property. With that comes freedom. I only need to do balance what he's asked me to do. I recognize the purpose of my talents are for the glorification of God. God is not glorified in sloppy management. God is not glorified in waste and fear. He's glorified with stewardship, faithful stewardship. And there comes a promise and a joy and a freedom of that. And there's a call to action to release the burden of ownership and embrace the freedom of stewardship. I got a friend who's very good at the market, very effective business person. And I recently found out he started a company about 5 years ago, another one. He starts them all the time, and I don't know how he does it. He builds them and sells them. In the C-suite, the chief, whatever, they got a bunch of them, legal and blah, 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 blah. Everybody at that table had to cut a significant check to get that job. They bought into the company as an entry level. They cut a check as an investment in the company. So now they all got skin in the game, right? So the CFO, the chief financial officer, the chief legal officer, they all had to write big checks to get part ownership in the company. They have grown by like 1,300% in 4 or 5 years. How? Because everyone felt a personal responsibility to steward what was in front of them. The reward will be given out by the master, and you'll receive it. So, what has God trusted you with? Your body? Take care of your body. Take care of your physical body. You will be accountable to the Lord for how you take care of yourself. Your mind? Take care of your mental health. The Bible says, work six, rest one. You occasionally need to rest several in a row. It's called a vacation. Right? Take care of your mind. Some of you have unbelievable intellect. Grow your thoughts. Challenge yourself. Read, read, read. We need you. Some of you have incredible artistic talents. You can create things that people can't even see yet. Some of you had the innate ability to mechanically, you know how things work. It's like your mind, you just know how they work and you can fix things. Your money, trust it to the Lord. And ask him to release his resources upon you as you're faithful. With the little, be made ruler over much. Not for self-absorption, although God does not mind us enjoying life, but for the glorification of Jesus. What, wouldn't it be, don't you love to hear the stories about the kid who grew up with nothing? I mean, nothing. Eating bowls of cereal with water because they didn't have milk. Going to school and realize they got some kind of athletic talent. They go and flourish, and it's usually because some people surrounded them and encouraged them and coached them, and they are able to monetize it, and they get a big contract, right? What do? I'm going to buy mom a house. I'm going to buy her a car. What a great feeling. What a great feeling it would be that if God let millions of dollars come through your hands. Close your eyes. Let's bow our heads. Father, we thank you. We thank you, God, that you've distributed the bags of gold as you've seen fit. You've given us gifts and talents. And what you've called us to do is steward them. You've called us to steward them. And God, we ask that you would help us in our careers, in our families, in our friends, our relationships, managing our stuff, our cars, our physical bodies, our minds. God, that you would show us how to honor you. You would help us to honor you with all that you have given us. Wealth comes from you. Every talent comes from you. Every singing ability and ability to fix things and care for people and write and all those things come from you. God, I pray that you'd raise up faithful stewards. I want to give an opportunity with every head bowed and every eye closed for repentance first and then for receiving. For repentance and then receiving. You're here today, and as I'm talking, you sense the Lord prodding you, poking you, convicting you. You sense the conviction of the Holy Spirit in any area that comes to stewardship. In any area, physical health, mental health, financial, relational, all the things that he's trusted you with. All the things that he's trusted you with. And you felt the nudge of the Holy Spirit to say, okay, be responsible. Be responsible. And you've realized you haven't been a faithful steward in some area. I know this is a broad, broad net. But you realize the Lord is speaking to you. And you say, God, I hear you. I'm asking that you would forgive me and strengthen me to correct course. We tracking together? You're here, and you say, God, I hear that. I hear you. And just, you're not going to tell me what it is. You're going to tell, if you want to tell someone, that's fine. But it's now not the time for that. But if you say, hey, I hear the Holy Spirit, I'm responding to God in my seat right now, God, I hear you, Lord, strengthen me to faithfully steward that area that you're nudging me about. Maybe you have been wasteful in your spending, you have not been faithful, maybe you have been not taking care, whatever it is. Lord, convict us where we're wrong. Encourage us where we're right, and strengthen us to correct course. If that's you and you say, hey, Pastor, just pray for me, because today I sense that and I want to hear, listen, respond to the voice of the Holy Spirit. And today I just want to, that's me. On the count of three, just wave at me. And I'm going to pray over you. I'm going to pray over you. I need help being a faithful steward in the area. Maybe you're a young person and you have been lazy in your academics and you know better. You know better. Maybe you have been lazy, whatever it is. Whatever it is. God, this is unto you. Be pleased with how I use what you have given me. And that's you. You want to correct course today. On the count of three, just wave at me. I'm going to pray over you. On the count of three, just wave at me. One, two, three. All over the room. Yeah. The only difference between me and you right now is I get a running start at this. I get a chance through the week to do what you're doing now. I let the conviction of the Spirit wash over me. I'm like, God, help me, help me, help me. Help me, God. Can we just pray right now? Father, I pray. Open your hands towards heaven. Just open them, palms up. God, I just pray that you would forgive us where you are correcting us. We sense and feel the nudge of the Holy Spirit. We recognize you're not ready to clock us over the head. You're ready to correct us, to help us. So we ask you to forgive us. We ask that you would give us the strength to change course, to be a faithful steward in every area. Not out of guilt, not out of, you know, feeling beat down, but out of an awe and wonder and a realization that you are the one who has given us all that we have. Let us please you with all that. Let us please you with all that. I just ask whatever he's working with you on, say, God, let this be pleasing to you. Change it for the glorification of God. God, be pleased with how we steward our households, our finances, our bodies, our cars, our health, our mental health, our intellect, our clothes, our quick, God, all of it. God, all of it. God, all of it. Our relationships. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I want everyone to stand all across the room. Stand all across the room, everyone together. Now I'm going to pray for you as we sing this song. And here's how I sense the Lord wanted me to pray for you. Now if I'm you, I'm jumping at this opportunity. Just want to throw that out there. And I know that it's maybe the first time you ever see me do anything like this. But this is biblical. I want to pray an increase over you. The Bible says wealth comes from the Lord, right? Right? We're not talking about buying 10 Ferraris. We're talking about wealth comes from the Lord. Wealth comes from the Lord. And you say, Pastor, I want you to agree with me in prayer for multiplication of my resources. For multiplication, and that's you, and you want that from God. I want you to come out of your seat now and stand across the front right now. Come on. You want a multiplication of your resources. You want them. Come on, God. Don't be. This doesn't mean you're greedy. This means you want what God has lined up for you. This means that you want to flow in the blessings that God has. This means that you want what God has for you and your life and your family. You want that. You want that blessing. You want that increase. Come and just fill up the front, slide to the center a little bit so we can kind of slide to the center so we can fill this in. The guys on the edge wouldn't feel so peripheral. Come on, come on, come on. What's the Bible say? Wealth comes from the Lord. What's it say? Wealth comes from the Lord. It's his to give as he sees fit. But the parable of the talents, the guy who stewarded his saw multiplication. And the guy who buried one was punished because he operated in fear and anxiety or whatever, and did nothing with what he had. So he had nothing to offer the master. I don't want that for you. I don't want that for me. I want multiplication, God's way. I want this place to be a generous church. I want you to be so generous, you laugh your head off writing big checks. That you go, oh God, you look back on this in 6 months, a year, 2 years from now, you go, oh God, you opened the windows of heaven. Oh God, you gave me creative ideas. Oh God, I was able to start that business. Oh God, you gave me favor. Why not us? It's in the Word. It's in the Word. It's in the Scriptures. They're going to sing, and I'm going to begin to pray over you. Jamie, would you join me? There she is. Start over here. We're going to pray for God's multiplication over you. Amen? Amen.
We want to thank you for listening to the message today. We would love for you to stop by and see us. Our services start at 10 a.m. on Sundays and 7 p.m. on Wednesday nights, with various small groups throughout the week. Here at Life Church, we hope you have a great week.